Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 2, we were talking about how much the English language has changed so as not to offend anybody. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We have to learn to walk in the light as He is in the light. And we walk in the light when we walk in obedience to the Word of God. And when we do that, the adversary shall be broken to pieces. They hate the messenger. Marvel not, we're told in John 15, verses 18 through 21, by the Lord Jesus Himself. He said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now think about that. You have churches today, especially in the contemporary genre, that most of the time they're just meeting on Saturday nights anymore, and then when they meet during the week at another time, they are having classes, how-to classes, you know, be anything from parenting to archery or what have you. And they removed all the standards. And they rock and roll, sit in their churches and drink coffee. And it's no wonder. It's no wonder that we see what's going on today. Columnist Walter Williams, who is an economist, a black man that is a man that I don't know about his spiritual relationship to God, but definitely has a very strong moral fiber about him, writes this. Here's one use of the term gentleman. The gentleman helped the fallen lady to her feet. Then he gives this. Here's another one we might hear from a newscaster or a police spokesman. Tonight we report on the arrest of two gentlemen who raped, sodomized, and murdered an 80-year-old woman. Now, during earlier times, to be called a gentleman meant one was honest, brave, courteous, and loyal. Today, gentleman is used interchangeably in reference to decent people and the scum of the earth. Much of today's language usage demonstrates a desire to be non-judgmental. People used to shack up. Now they cohabit or are living partners. Few young women of yesteryear would have felt comfortable to publicly declare they slept around. Unmarried women used to give birth to a, and excuse this word, but it's a Bible word, bastard. In Hebrews 12:8. Later, this was upgraded to an illegitimate birth or a non-marital birth. In many instances, unwed mothers proudly hold baby showers, celebrating their illegitimate offspring, and the man, if known, who sired the baby is referred to as my baby's daddy, or sometimes as my baby daddy. Homosexual marriages, which are not a basic human survival trait, were unheard of. Today, in some jurisdictions, homosexual marriage has legal sanction. To be judgmental about modern codes of conduct is to risk being labeled a prude, a racist, sexist, or a homophobe. And people ignore the fact that to accept another's right to engage in certain peaceable, voluntary behavior doesn't require moral acceptance or sanction. Another measure of social deviancy is reflected by the excuses and apologies that are made for failings and how we make mascots out of social misfits such as criminals and bums. The intellectual elite tell us that it is poverty or racism that produces criminals as opposed to a moral defect. We call bums homeless people. That suggests a moral equivalency between people who have lost their homes in a fire or a natural disaster and people who choose to be social parasites. Therefore, neither group is to be blamed for its respective condition. People who are very productive members of our society, such as the rich, are often held up to ridicule and scorn. We like to blame our president or our congressman, but it's the American people who are to blame, for it is we who have lost our morality and our love, knowledge, and respect for our Constitution, laying the foundation for Washington tyranny. It's all part and parcel of defining deviancy down, which is the term former U.S. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan coined in 1993 to describe how we've switched from moral absolutes to situational morality, and from strict constitutional interpretation to the Constitution's being a living document. Constitutional principles that do not allow one American to live at the expense of another American are to be held in contempt. Today's Americans have betrayed the values that made us a great nation, and that does not bode well for future generations. Now, Walter Williams was very right in that assessment. And yet, we say that publicly, and many people get upset, and they would say, well, you're just unloving. You are unkind. And yet, my friend, are we the ones that are unkind? The day comes that out of heaven he shall thunder upon them. My friend, Jesus is coming again. That's what verse 10 is about. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. This is talking about that time at the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes back. And isn't it interesting that now this young lady, Hannah, has been allowed to understand this? Jesus is coming again in power and great glory, and he will judge the ends of the earth. Now just think, America is such a far away place from Israel. And God said he'd bless those that bless Israel, curse those that curse Israel, but to ignore them. Having a hands-off policy helps no one. You know, I may not hate a sinner, but if I will not witness to a sinner, and I have a hands-off policy, God will judge that. He will judge the ends of the earth, even those places that are far away from Israel. He will crush, that's what he means by broken to pieces, has the idea of dismayed and demoralized and literally breaking down emotionally. God will give strength unto the King of Kings, giving authority to do the work of judgment. God gives the power, wisdom, and strength to be an overcomer. He not only gives strength, he gives strength to us that we might exalt the horn of his anointed. Jesus is the anointed. Christ the Messiah. God the Father will expand the scope. She is now worshiping God for who he is. My friend, Understand this? God will exalt Hannah in due time. One way is by the child Samuel. But just think that she has been there all this time in eternity. And so that takes us on to verse 11. It says, "And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest." Well, the prayer is ended. And now Elkanah goes back to Ramah with Hannah and the family, and goes back to the house, and life goes on. Now, he's the head of the home. And this son Samuel is by his favorite wife. And so this is going to be hard for him. But knowing the miracle behind it, he too leaves without the child. He too is part of giving this child unto the Lord. And we're told the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. I wonder if Eli ever corrected his own sons when they were Samuel's age. And did he have them do what Samuel's doing? But we're not told whether he did or not. All we know is they grow older. They are two immoral, lascivious men. And it is such that God removes the line of Eli. And years later, they won't even be working in the office that in now which Eli serves. As Hannah, we see that she looks at the Lord's return and his judging the earth. And she sees God's glory as it is revealed in eternity. And perhaps she even sees Romans 8:17-18, where we read, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." 1 Corinthians 10 told us that these things were written for our admonition. And now we're looking here. We're being taught. You'll go through suffering in this lifetime, but you remain faithful. You remain true to God. You draw ever closer to him, and you'll be a joint heir with him. For Jesus, too, suffered in his life on earth. But the greatness of the suffering will seem minute in comparison to the greatness of the glory that will be revealed in us, if so be that we suffer with him. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.